Blessing that the Lord has given me this opportunity to be able to share the Word of God with you. I'd like you to open up to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 tonight. I'm going to be preaching a message called When Your Brother Dies. It's an interesting title here, but When Your Brother Dies, I'm sure that once we get into the story, you'll see where we're going with that. But John chapter 11, like my dad said, this is a little bit of a lengthy passage, but we'll try to go through it quickly, and hopefully we can learn some things tonight from God's Word. So, of course, once we open up here, we'll see this is the story of Lazarus. Here we have the story of Lazarus. Of course, we're all fairly familiar with how the story goes and everything, but throughout these verses, I just like to put your spot, to put yourself into Mary and Martha's shoes right here, and think about the situations that you're going through in life that you can relate to Mary and Martha. And I just hope that we can learn here tonight. Of course, through this year, we're learning about prayer and how we can go and access the throne of grace. Of course, even praying about big things that God has given us, you know, not being afraid of praying for big things, but asking God what He leads us to, and I'm sure this will help us. So we're going to start in verse 1 of John chapter 11, and it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So what we're going to do here tonight is we're sort of just going to go through the passage a couple of verses at a time and just get some application through some of these verses. So here we see that Lazarus is sick. We see that Mary and Martha send for Jesus and say, he is sick, will you come and heal him? Of course, I'd like you to start thinking about what are the things that you're praying for right now in your life. Maybe some, maybe a trial that you're going through, maybe someone that you're praying for, maybe they're not walking with the Lord, maybe it's something, a physical something, maybe in your life or someone else's life that you're praying for, and what is that thing that you're praying for? So we see here, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But I'd really like you to look at verse 4, and it says, When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What is this verse saying? Here Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. Now, of course, we know the story. We know that Lazarus is going to die. And when I first heard that, how is Jesus saying here, the sickness is not unto death, but he dies? So I studied a little bit, and what I found out is Jesus here is saying the sickness will not result in permanent death. He's talking about permanent death here. He's not necessarily saying that he won't physically die for a couple days, but God is saying that he will take care of that. But of course, I think Mary and Martha, I don't think they quite understood here what Jesus was talking about. They just believed that if he's not going to die, then Jesus is going to come and heal. So I believe that verse 4 here is a big part of this passage, because here Jesus gives us a promise. He gave Mary and Martha a promise. He says, your brother, the sickness that your brother has is not nigh unto death. As we pray through things, as we go throughout life, we oftentimes struggle through maybe why God isn't answering, maybe we don't see anything, maybe things go a different way than we thought, and we wonder why, but here Jesus gives us a promise. He says, your brother will, it doesn't say he won't die, but it's not, his sickness is not unto death. And I'd like us to consider the promises that God has given us in his word that we often forget so many times. You know, we think of that Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know, and we sometimes struggle with, you know, is God with me? Is God right there with me going through this trial? And so often, there are so many things that God directly tells us in his word that we forget and that we don't claim. And the problem is we don't know his promises. We first have to know his promises here. If we don't know them, we won't be able to claim them. So, of course, there's a lot of promises in God's word, and each can help us in the situations that we're going through. But why can we believe his promises? Well, because we know his promises are true. In Hebrews 10:23, the end of the verse, it says, for he is faithful that promised. God is never going to go back on his word. Everything that he says, he will do. When God says something, we need to always remember that he will do it. No matter how tough the situation gets, no matter how impossible it gets, God will always do what he says he is going to do. I'd like to keep reading here now on through this passage. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. When I got to this verse, when I was reading through it, of course I knew the story, and I thought, Jesus here heard that his brother, that Mary Martha's brother was sick, and he just stayed. I don't know exactly what he did for those 2 days, but he stayed where he was and didn't come to heal Lazarus. Here, we can, as humans, we could wonder, you know, does God really care? Maybe he didn't hear. Maybe we start to question God, why isn't he answering? You know, he's not coming. I thought I said that he might die. He's very sick. Why isn't God coming? I thought he cared. But they were already, you know, as we see further on, they were already, a couple verses later, forgetting the promise that God had given them that he would be alive and well. So verse 6, you know, sometimes we're praying through things, you know, even right now in my life, I'm praying through things, maybe praying for a while, and I say, God, why aren't you answering? As I was putting this message together, you know, situations were coming into my head, and I'm like, God, why haven't you given me an answer with this? Or why haven't I heard you speak to me for a while? And, of course, this is where Mary and Martha were. You know, Jesus, verse 6 says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And I think oftentimes, to us, stillness and quietness and what I would call delays, we need to learn that delays to answers that we want are not denials. Sometimes we don't hear anything and we think that God is saying no. God always gives us clear answers. He always makes it clear with, you know, what we're praying for. You know, he can either say he might want it or he might not want it. And he always is clear, but sometimes we just don't hear anything and we just assume God doesn't want it and we immediately stop praying for it. And, you know, we never know when God was just about to answer our prayer. And God still might answer if we stop, but that's not being faithful to what God has promised us. If God has promised us He's given us his promises, then we should never stop praying for what he has given us until he shows us that it is not his will. So here we see that Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I think also sometimes we feel that God is far away from us, and I believe that the farness itself is actually the nearness of God. You know, God has those moments in our life to grow us, to grow our faith. I believe if we ask God for things and he immediately gave it to us, I don't believe we would really be people of faith, because there'd be nothing to wait for. You know, faith comes when we have to wait, and we don't know how God's going to answer, but we know he's going to answer. And so sometimes the very silence is actually the answer that God has given us. You know, for right now, God is saying, wait, because I have something better for you. God always gives us the best. He never gives us anything less than the best. And if you're praying for something and you're not getting any answer, well, that is the answer right there for you right now in that day. And you can be, you know, excited in that time. You don't know what God's going to do, but he has something actually better than you have been praying for. Okay, so that was verse 6. Let's read. Let's go to, verse 7, it says, "Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again." So I believe this is after the 2 days he abode there. Now he's saying, let's go head toward Judea, and they're going to be going to Mary and Martha and Lazarus here, where they live in Bethany. But they're going to start heading toward Judea. Let's go down to verse 11. I'm starting in verse 11 here. It says, "These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Okay, so, you know, Jesus here says, Lazarus is sleeping. And back then, they used that terminology a lot more for death. You know, if I just said that today, none of you would understand what I was saying. You know, back then it was more common for them to say, you know, when someone sleepeth, they're dead. But obviously we see here that the disciples don't understand that. In verse 13 it says, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep." And then verse 14 says, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." I'd like to see here that not only was the answer delayed, but now it seems as though the result is impossible, okay? So they asked Jesus, "Would you come heal our brother?" Well, how can you heal your brother of being sick if he's dead? You know, that doesn't make sense. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." And immediately, you know, think in your personal life, you know, all immediately questions start coming into your head. You know, like, if you had just come a day earlier, 2 days earlier, 3 days earlier. Here we know that, you know, later in verse 17 it says that he was laid in the grave 4 days already. So, okay, 4 days ago. If Jesus would have come 4 days ago, when we told him he was sick, he would have been healed. And we start to wonder, why did God fail me? Why did he wait? You know, this is where I think it gets really neat, though, in our personal life. When we go through that situation, we begin to really struggle. But here, you know, as we think, as we remember verse 4, as we remember that God said what he was going to do with Lazarus, it would just make this story more exciting. Not that we're looking for a more exciting story, but when we know when situations we're in become impossible, that's when we can become excited what God is going to do. Because now there's no way that any human can intervene and help the situation. There's nothing no one can do. And the only way if something happens here is if Jesus does something here. And, you know, Lazarus was not going to stay dead. But they didn't understand that. And to them, the situation was impossible. And they said, Jesus, why didn't you come earlier? Verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Here Jesus says, for your sakes, it was good that I didn't go. For your sakes, it was good that I was not there. You know, in your life, in my life, when we wonder why maybe something happened, why did God do that? He says, for your sakes, it was good. And, you know, down here in human thinking and human reasoning, we're saying, God, you gave me something bad. But here God says, no, I gave you something good. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. See here, Jesus could have went to Lazarus and he could have healed him, and that would have been a miracle in and of itself. But I believe here, you know, the disciples saw Jesus heal people all the time. And to them, you know, if Jesus heals someone else, what's the big deal? But here Jesus says that I want you to believe through this situation. You are going to see who I actually am and how I'm going to use this situation for your good. You know, he says, I have something better for you. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. You know, I already alluded to this verse. But he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Well, if it was impossible before, now it's really impossible. I mean, back then, you know, they put him in a grave, put him in a tomb. You know, we can go, I'll actually look at verse 39. Verse 39 says, Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Okay, so what is this verse saying? He's starting to decay. He's starting to not look so good. What are you going to do? Like, I mean, you know, back then, I was reading that the tombs were where people were buried. There was actually, I don't know if I want to say law, but there was a thing where people knew that they were supposed to stay far away from them. They weren't allowed to even get close to them because they were afraid of being, you know, impure from all the, you know, from the dead bodies there. And, you know, they're thinking, okay, what is Jesus going to do here? You know, like, okay, you know, if God was going to raise him up from the dead, you know, he was going to do it, you know, the day he died, maybe. You know, but, like, he can't do that now. I mean, he's already decomposing by now. But, of course, Jesus knew everything, and Jesus had the perfect plan for the disciples, for Mary and Martha, for Lazarus, and for all the people around that were watching. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, which is about just under 2 miles. And verse 19 says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. You know, what's interesting about this verse? You know, it's just, you know, Mary and Martha were grieving over the loss of their brother, And it says many Jews came to comfort them. Okay, so many Jews were around Mary and Martha. What I think is very neat about this is what did Jesus say before? He said, I can't remember, verse 4, it says, "But for, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, Jesus had a lot of Jews around Mary and Martha to be able to witness what he was going to be able to do here with the life of Lazarus. You know, people were around, it says, and many of the Jews. I don't believe this was, you know, one or two or three. This sounds like a lot of people. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And, of course, she's still thinking in her human reasonings, if you would have come earlier, my brother would not have died. I believe, you see she has some faith here. You see that she believed that God would have healed, no doubt. She says, if you would have came, my brother would not have died. But there's in the midst of faith, there's also a lot of unbelief. She says, you know, if you would have done that, but there's nothing you can do now. And I believe here, Martha had faith in the possibilities. She had faith in the possibilities that she maybe could think of ways how God would do it. You know, this is possible, okay? I believe that God could do that. But once it got impossible, once the situation became impossible, well, she really didn't have any faith for that. She didn't understand here what God was going to do. Verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So she has, you know, some faith there. In verse 23, it says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So, okay, now here Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. Now she knows, or she halfway knows what Jesus is going to do, but what does it say in verse 24? It says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She believes that he is going to rise at the coming of Christ here when Jesus comes back to the earth. She doesn't understand that Jesus is saying, I'm going to raise him up today. I'm going to raise him up very soon. And she's still thinking, you know, how things are possible. You know, she knows that dead people are going to be risen at in the end day. But she doesn't understand that Jesus is going to be able to raise her brother up in that time. Verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Here it's very interesting. You know, of course, Jesus still has not yet gone to the cross yet. He has still not done that work. He has still not rose again. And here he gives what he is going to do. And he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know, right here he is giving, you know, pretty much the gospel. He is giving how we can believe that Jesus will take away our sins and be the Savior over us, and that we can have victory over sin here. And he is saying, you know, look at, you asked for your brother to be healed. But not only am I going to raise your brother from dead, I am going to die and I'm going to be raised from the dead as well. And I'm going to be that life to all. See, here, another thing I'd like to see is, you know, Jesus is many things. He is a lot of things. You know, in the Bible it says Jesus is and fill in the blank. But not only does he do those things, that's who he is. There's nothing that Jesus does not do that he is not that. You know, if God shows love to you, that means God is love. It comes straight from who he is. And here he says, you know, if you believe in me, you shall never die. Jesus is the life, and he gives life to all those that believe. Verse 27. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come unto the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Again, we see that all these people around her, followed her. They all followed her, you know. And here, God is proving what he said before: is many people will believe, the Son of God will be glorified through this situation. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not had died. Well, I think we just heard that a couple verses ago. Same belief here. You know, if you would have come, he would have not have died. Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. I think this is really neat. We know that Jesus says that he loves us all. But this puts it into perspective. This shows us how God cares for us. You know, God, his plan was for Lazarus to die, you know. But in his humanity here, he still really cared what they were going on. We see, you know, the Jews were weeping, Mary and Martha were weeping over the loss of their brother. And here Jesus is weeping with them. He knows what they're going through. Everything we go through, he has already gone through. And he feels for us. He knows what we're going through. He knows that he's giving us something better, but he knows when we don't understand that, how we feel, and he still feels for us. It's just amazing how he was moved with compassion towards them. Verse 37, And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused them, even this man should not have died? Again, the same thing. Again, now the people are around saying, you know, he healed blind men. Why couldn't he heal Lazarus? But obviously, we know here that Jesus had a much greater plan in the long run. 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Here in verse 41, in the end of the verse, Jesus says, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Here, you know, Lazarus was not alive. He was still dead. Here, nothing happened yet. But here, he thanks the Father that he has heard him. You know, in our situations in life, you know, maybe it's something that we're praying for, as we follow who Jesus was, we ought to be thanking God for answering how he would want even before he does it. You know, we may not know how he's going to answer, but we can thank him for what he's going to do even before he gives us the answer. As we see, that is what Jesus did here. And then, of course, in verse 42, it says, "And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Here he's sort of, you know, asking the Father, because what did he want? He wanted the Son of God to be glorified. So he wanted to ask the Son of God in front of everyone so that he may be glorified, you know, so that they can see who is doing this. verse 43. "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." You know, we saw how the result was impossible. We saw answer delayed. We saw result impossible. But here in verse 43 and 44, we see impossibility possible. Here, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, says, "Lazarus, come forth." And says, "And he that was dead came forth." He that was dead. Lazarus is now alive. Jesus looked to the Father for the ability to do this, and Lazarus was rose from the dead. Now, at this time, in verse 45, it says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." It says many of the Jews believed on him. And I wonder, what would have happened if Jesus would have came right away? I wonder what would have happened if he would have healed him right away. You know, how would have the faith of Mary and Martha been? How would have all these people believed? Well, they wouldn't have. But it was because of what seemed like silent time, of what seemed impossible, that made this all happen. It says, verse 45, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." You know, I believe that as we go through our prayer life, as we go through things that we pray for, we need to be sharing. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't need to share everything that we're praying for, but maybe some things that we're going through, we can share with friends, maybe people at church, what we're praying for. Because when God does answer, then many can see what God has done. If we keep everything that we're praying to in ourselves, if we're keeping that all in, when God answers, he might work in your life, he might strengthen your faith, but what about all the people that are around you that would have seen what God was doing but didn't, because they didn't know what you were asking for? So here we see the impossibility possible and how many believed. You know, God is never, ever too late. God is always on time. He is never early. He is never on time. And of course, he lives, you know, he gives us what is best when we need it. Maybe we're praying for something that God would want, but he doesn't have it for you right now. And many times it could just be because he wants to strengthen our faith. Maybe he wants to see people around believe in him. Maybe he wants people around for their faith to be strengthened. You know, like I said before, if Jesus would have healed him right away, I believe that Mary and Martha's faith would have been the same as before Jesus raised him from the dead. They would have still said, well, I believe God can raise him. But I believe after they saw Lazarus come forth, I believe their faith was strengthened. I believe they began to understand who Jesus was and what he could do. So as you think about the things that you're praying for, maybe as a church, maybe in your personal life, maybe as a family, do you know the promises of God? Do you know what God has said in his word that we can take a hold of? Do we believe the promises that he has given us? You know, if we know them, but if we don't believe them, well, that's not going to do us any good either. We know that God says he is faithful, that promised. He will never not do what he has said. You know, sometimes we feel like our answer is being delayed. We don't hear anything. Well, I'd like to say that those who wait for God to do what his blessed plan is, they will never be disappointed. You will never be disappointed when you wait for God to do what God wants to do. You know, if we try to take the matter into our own hands, it's not going to end up too well. No, when we wait for God to do what he wants us to do, we will never be disappointed. Of course, situations in our life sometimes become impossible. And we say, how is God going to do that? And then we say, well, doesn't seem like God can do that. They're too far off. This is getting worse. It's impossible. But we know that God says, I have something better for you. You know, it seems impossible, but with what I have and the plan that I have for you, I have something better. And of course, we see then God will answer one day, and he will make the impossibility possible in your lives. If we only would believe what he has for us, if we only would take a hold of his promises. You know, when we take a hold of his promises, you know, we won't be like Mary and Martha that doubted. If they would have taken verse 4 from the beginning, you know, maybe they didn't understand exactly what he was saying, but if they would have just trusted God, they would have never doubted. You know, they might not have understood what he was going to do, but that doesn't mean they couldn't have believed. So I just hope that this will just be encouragement to you as we go throughout our prayer life, as we pray for things, as we ask God to do things. I hope that we would take God's promises for his word and trust him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just want to thank you for this passage you have given me to share to people here tonight. I just pray that you would please help us to believe your promises. I pray that we would rest in you, that you know the best for us. And I pray that when you do work, that many would believe in you and that our faith would be strengthened. So I just want to thank you for this challenge tonight. In Jesus' name.